Because for water management, you cannot dissociate yourself from the local socio-economic realities, because this impacts so strongly on your water scene. For example, in the past 30 years, we have seen many changes in the region. And these changes are due mainly to the development of Auroville, impacts a lot, but mainly the development of Pondicherry, which has attracted so much population, so much industry, so much activities, that it has generated in return a complete change in the region around, which was mainly and almost solely agriculture. But now the manpower has drifted away to Pondy, and farmers can, for example, they used to grow rice, groundnuts, all these kind of things. But these are labor dependent. You need people to do these crops. But if the labor force is gone away, then now they go for cash crops such as casuarina, mainly casuarina actually, or sugar cane, because it's a one-time harvest in a year, and you need people only for the time of harvesting. So the rest of the year, you just pour water. So these are elements that impact on us. Water budget. So it's the same story. Consider water as your cash flow. As I said before, you have your reserve in your bank account, and you have your incomes, and then your expenses. So the main balance you want to manifest, like I said, the important thing is that the budget has to be balanced. Otherwise, you run in deficit. And this is what we have done over the past 50 years. When we came to Auroville, water was full. In the region, it was full. Everywhere, it was full. I am talking of the groundwater. The land was full to the brim. I remember in the first, I came in 82, in the first years, we had the big excavation under Matrimandir, and during monsoon, that used to become a super swimming pool with crystal clear water. Because at that time, the Cuddalore sandstone, our top aquifer, was getting full. And there was hardly any extraction in the deeper aquifer. So it was balanced. But then we have been developing Auroville and the people around us on groundwater. And that is the main problem of the day. So now we are looking at the regional level on how we can shift from groundwater back to surface water. And this is a real challenge. For that, partners. Partnership is, as we know, fundamental in whatever development you want to do. Oh yes, sorry. Then you need people to work with. You need people to share energies, resources, and whatever. So at the user level, that means each one of us is a water user. Yeah? At the environmental level, that means we have to ensure that the overall environment is also getting its share. That's why, for example, we had some restriction on desalinization, because you're not going to water the forest with desalinized water. So therefore, you want to make sure that you have a proper income of rainfall. At the production level, that means whoever can produce water. Produce means make it available, render it in the form, you mean liquid, whatever, but it has to be available. Then the distribution is when you share it with the different users. The research level, this is very important, because what we face today here in Auroville is a major problem that is faced all around the world. I mean, you might have seen it was shown extensively in the COP21 and all these things, because water issues are major now. We are so crowded on this planet, and We have exhausted many of our reserves. So now we have to reduce, we have to deflate that balloon to bring it to some manageable level. That means you need to have, you need to understand your ecosystem and see what it can give you and what can you give to it, so that you make an exchange at the ecosystem level. Then the drinking level, yeah, of course, and the regulatory level. This is also a major thing. Like on the 26th of February, we will have a seminar here in Bharat Nivas, where the main thematic will be policies and regulations on water.
What time?
It will be 26th, a full day. We have the Lieutenant Governor of Pondicherry coming. We have a main water harvester from India, Sri Anupam Mishra, coming. Some people from Coimbatore who have done extensive work in the city of Coimbatore. And we are going to work on urban, rural, and neo-urban. Because this is the experience of Aurovie. We are neo-urban. We are, how to say, we are being born. So let's not repeat the same story. We don't have, we should not have here all the fixed elements that a traditional township is having. So this is our challenge, how to remain open and welcome all forms of technologies that give you this kind of day-to-day balance. We'll develop on that. Sharing, offering and receiving our needs, our resources, our means and our joy. Because without joy you go nowhere. This is our fuel. Sustainability. So it's a key word, you find it everywhere, but it's a need. You need to protect the resource in the long term. It's fundamental. We cannot be here a no future generation. It's impossible. We have created our orbit for the future. So no future is does not exist here. And we have to protect the resource in quality and in quantity for the generations to come. So when I say in quality, it's one of the major problems that we are facing today. Because when already in Auroville we can see it, but I tell you Auroville is a paradise. When you go out, and you might have all gone out, and you tour in the villages and you tour in the cities around us, then you find heaps of waste, solid waste, liquid waste and all that. And you see these vacuum trucks, you know, who suck the soap pits or whatever, dumping wastewater anyway. So this is our main concern today, because you can save the quantity of water. For example, the last monsoon was fantastic. I mean, we could almost fill up the Kedalur sandstone. Because, I mean, like some wells had a recovery of 40 meters. Yeah, and 40 meters. Yes. And so, on an average, on all the wells we measured recently, we were at 11, 12 meters average. So it's, for me, it was, you see, for years, we were going down the slope. I mean, when we were in harvest, following the things, we could see the thing going down and going down and going down, and we were ringing the bell and ringing the bell. After some time, you know, the bell and the bell and too much. And we got, I mean, for me it was a blessing, the monsoon we had. Because suddenly it shows you so many things. First, that your aquifers can respond. That means we must not let a drop of water go out of the plateau. In some areas we will have to, like for example this area here, because we have clay underneath, so water cannot percolate. So let it go. But some other areas on the east side, where you are on the Kedalur sandstone, there you can percolate as much as you can. And don't think that you are going to utilize this water. You will get only a small part of it. But we are talking of millions of cubic meters. So a small part of it might be sufficient for you. When I say you, I mean I'm talking of us, I'm talking of our neighbors. But this, you see, we are functioning in a realm where volumes are gigantic. You see, when we got 2 meters of rain last year. 2 meters. It's a lot. it's almost the record. So it's very important. So we are building a system that they will inherit. And again, think of the kids. For example, this water festival that we are running, it will last 7 weeks in 7 different regions of Bahour, Kedalor, Fondi, Oroville, Vidyanour, Vanour, Maracana. Each time, each week, we visit 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 schools where we speak with children, where we have them write things on a big piece of cloth that will be exposed at the valedictory function. And we share with children. And for example, you know, I was talking of rain. You asked, I was in Malapet near Bahou. I asked the kids, where is the water coming from? I mean, in a flick of a second, then one of the small kids said, Marae, rain. You see, sometimes you speak to an adult, you will ask him just like that, where is the water coming from? From the tap, or from somewhere, or from the well. But for the kids, no, water comes from the rain. My God, it was such an emotion to see that. It's really nice. And we have to build that with our heart, our brains, our hands, and with joy again. This is fundamental. That's why we choose this event to be a festival, a moment of celebration on water, because we want water to regain its glory. It became a commodity. See, water, like you said, the tap. You fill up your kettle, you make your tea in the morning, blah, 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 blah. But water, you know, with beauty, and it's something that we want back. And what we say, the beginning of the legend. I borrowed that to mother, but I love it. So strategy, communication, education, publication, interaction, integration, and goodwill. You see, these are all strategic, these are the normal strategies. And the rest is technical. Technical, we are not wasting time on that, because we want to first get people together. Technical, you have books, you go on the internet, you go anywhere, you find all the techniques that you need. We have people here in Oroville who experiment, like CSR does a fantastic job on that. Kirit also is doing fantastic job with his ponds and his JCBs and all that. Luca at Water Service, Oroville Water Service, they are doing also a lot of research on piping. You see, it sounds a bit simple, but to get good pipes in a proper network, even though it's done all over the planet, but to have it done here in Oroville, it's good. It's good because so far, we had a pioneering model, no? Using PVC, using all kind of different qualities. And we see that this type of technology does not last. It does not age. So we have to get it rebuilt. So these guys, for example, are working on that. They are working on distribution. And we are a group of thinkers with 10C, Toby and Christian of Orchard, because TDC asked us to form a small water group, which is just a very small think tank, but it's also a focal point that we want to have in Oroville, because otherwise we are getting lost. Each one in his own field, in his own corner. So it's important. Strategy, enforce our rainwater objectives in the city area. A bit on what Kenya said in the previous presentation. So this is also a a lot of research has to be done. Artificially recharge our groundwater in the coastal area using rainwater and retreated wastewater. So this is a project that, for example, we have Pondicherry dumping a lot of wastewater near the airport of Pondi behind Fort Commerce. And there is it's very old project to have this water. It's wastewater, but we would like to have this water and retreat it and use it on our bill as retreated water. That means it becomes a new amount of water that you can pour inside your cycle. It will add volume to your water budget. And the main thing of that line is that if you use it, like they do in Los Angeles, for example, use it along the coast. That means you artificially recharge along the coast. You create an hydraulic barrier and you keep your seawater to the sea. Like that, you prevent the seawater intrusion. So these are projects that can come up, but for that you need the scale of partnerships and all that. But this is coming. And this festival, I tell you, we are meeting people, we have a lot of people from from very high level interested. We have the support of UNESCO. UNESCO is going to finance projects on education. We have Agence Française de Développement. There will be partners also in that. We have, lots of people from India also. It's very interesting. So we treat and reuse desalination as much and as long as we can, because this also goes in the loop. That what I mean by that, the loop is our cycle. That means rain in the ground goes to the sea and goes. And then once you pump, you reuse, and you see, you have a loop in order. But if you can bring in the loop external source of water, then you enrich your loop. Alors, consider the local loop as an entity. Yeah, as an entity, it means like your bank account. Again, I have always this image that comes to me. Your loop is your bank account. So how much comes in from various sources and enrich it? Whatever you take from it goes to the debit. And then you have to keep that balance. We have also to improve the rain by raising humidity at regional level through revegetation. So this is also one of the experiences of Auroville, all this massive reforestation, where we could see that we have changed drastically the microclimate. I mean, you can feel it at night. When you come from Bondi, if you forget to take your jacket, suddenly it's quite cold. And this is a very important factor in meteorology, temperature. And then you have density of humidity. Because you want to densify humidity to come as close as possible to the dew point, to the point where droplets will start forming and where eventually it will fall on the ground. And this you can only do it at mega scale. You have to intervene on the hills to get to get the rain on the hills so that it comes back to us. So one head for a complex body, Auroville Water, because we have Auroville Water, Auroville Water Service, we have Portus Water. We have, Kerita's no name. he's doing rainwater harvesting, but it's such an individual element. I don't know if he has created a unit or not. So the one thing is what I said before about the water group. Is that we want to try to unify everything so that we have a very good horizontal connection. It's fundamental. And it should be composed of users, governors and government officials, because you need to have a relation with the governments, and they are the ones impacting on such a scale. Managers to organize the show, operators to do the work of bringing you water at home, and researchers to bring us always forward. Human complexity. So, human nature. For example, we found this famous BHF, which is the bloody human factor, that you find in all the problems we have here. And this one, you can't escape. So you have, each time you prepare a project, each time you want to do something, you have to build in the BHF, because it can put down your project like anything. But if you treat it properly, it can also enhance your project to a very good thing. But then it's a factor that you have to manage, and actually we are here for that. Nature's nature. Because it's good to call nature, nature. But nature has a nature. And that you should not forget. It has a certain way of being, nature. It has a cycle, like we said before. So this you should never forget. And can we stay cool when 2 rupees by 1 million liters is equivalent to 2 million rupees? I mean, today we have markets building up on water. So this is something that we have to really look at seriously. Because some guys are here and watching. Some are already positioning themselves. And it's very important. I'm talking in the general level. But, for example, if you look at, you go on the internet, you do pricing of water, and then you find that in certain cities like Ahmedabad, the government pays. Water is almost free, I think it's free. Because the people pay taxes to the government, and the government handles the city. So it's not going private. But in other cities, unfortunately, it is going private. We have it in Europe, you have it in many places. So we have this dialogue of centralization versus neighborhood networks. Neighborhood networks would be like what we had in the past, you know, our communities were having their own borewell, and then everybody around would benefit of that. But now, since we are increasing the population, we are having different realities. And so we are looking at how we can see, how we can get these neighborhoods together. Like, for example, take the case of Courage, Rêve. They are close by. Rêve needs water. Courage has a weak borewell, but has an excellent overhead tank, 50 cubic meters. So, you make a borewell in a Rêve, give the water to Courage, use their overhead tank, and then you can redistribute the water. Similarly, in the cultural zone, we can do also a neighborhood system. You see, we need not always consider that we have to centralize everything. We can centralize at a certain level when we are talking of equalizing the resource. That means we don't, it's not that one side of our ville will be water rich and then another side of our ville will be water poor. That cannot go. We have to be balanced. So for that, we can build a second network that is centralized, this one. And then we take water from one side to help the other side, or vice versa. So you see, we are trying to think in those lines. But can we regulate? And where is the border to freedom? This is always the problem that we face in Europe. Freedom. So VHF and freedom, cash down. And who regulates? Who regulates? We have already, I don't know, about 50 groups in Europe. And who is going to regulate that? And somehow bring it to a form of autodiscipline or divine anarchy, where people will understand that they have to discipline themselves and that they have to to share. They have to share. And then they have, above everything, they have to be aware of what is available. This is more important. Because in this domain, you know, if you speak to a person who has a super barwell because she drilled 200 meters, now she builds a PC, then she has no problem. She has the barwell. But if you look at it at a larger scale, no. Because you are tapping into a public source, a bigger amount of water. So you have to think again. Well, I know that swimming pools have the recycling. So we should not always shoot on the swimming pools, because technology is that you recycle a lot of water. But at the same time, who regulates and what and how? So these are the things that we have to put up in our head. And it will need research, it will need documentation, it will need experimented people. Like for example, we have Toby, who comes from Holland, who was a super manager of a super water company. He has a lot of knowledge. I mean, sometimes when we have discussions, he knows a lot of things, but at that level. And when we work at the Orville level, sometimes this does not apply. So you see, we have to find the right resources. You see, when we speak of larger stories, this kind of brain can work. But when we are, you see, you don't take a Ferrari to plow your field, you know? It's something that we have to be careful of that. Complexity, again, human nature. And so there I'm touching the cash crops in the region where you see ponds. On top of it, these guys pump and pump and pump, you know. And can we stay cool when energy is given free by government and by Varuna? It's not a personal attack on Varuna, but it is a fact. Varuna is this unit who is giving electricity for free in Orville. And as we could see, there has been an impact on the socio-economic reality of Orville. They are themselves monitoring it, which is good, because they consider it an experience. I just state it as a fact. It's very important, because what we have seen in the region around is that when 25 years ago, one guy wanted to be elected chief minister of Tamil Nadu, he said to the farmers, okay, I'm going to give you free electricity. Then, of course, he got all the votes. Tamil Nadu was very, and is still very rural. But then, water table, poor. Just fell down. Because everybody started making boreholes, bought any kind of pump. You know, even if the pump was not efficient, doesn't matter. You're not paying the electricity. So it's a disincentive, which is a killer. I mean, there has been so many papers published on that.
And it's still in...
It is still. It is still. Yeah. You see, like for example in this water festival, I am thinking that for the valedictory function, when we will close on 22nd of March, I want to have the governor of Tamil Nadu, governor of Pondicherry, Chief Secretary of Tamil Nadu, Chief Secretary of Pondicherry. Then the politicians, let them come if they may. But at least these big shots are fundamental, because all the government agencies will have to align. And for us, it's important to build in this particular area, Oroville, to have this partnership between these two states. One is a mega state, Tamil Nadu is one of the largest states of India. And it has a lot of generating problems. But Pondicherry is worse. It's a small thing, but so much intensified that, I mean, it messes up everything. All the waste of Pondicherry comes dumped in Tamil Nadu. They can pump water if they want, and then water comes from Tamil Nadu. I mean, we have a lot of things. that they generate a lot of labor jobs and all that, but then it provokes urban sprawling, and then now it starts to go into mainland. So it's a big issue. So that's why we need to get these two major forces, governors, chief secretaries, because these are normally named by Delhi. So it's important.
Yeah, but there will be chance that Port
has to become a smart city?
Yes, the smart city business is there, and that's why we have the AFD in the picture.
It's a French...
Yes, the French Development Agency.
After the COP21, the president came in.
Yeah. And the AFD has already committed, I don't know how many millions of euros to Pondicherry and all that. And we hope that most probably they will come to ask us, because they know that we are sitting on such a database with all was collected by Harvest, by Palmyra, by Orovin in general. So all this information is available. And it's much more reliable than what they may find with government agencies around. And we most probably will be associated with research programs with them and development programs as well.
But the free electricity, as Federica was asking, the government...
I would like the questions to come later, actually. And we finish that now.
No, it's not a question, it's just a remark. Hein?
It's a remark, yeah. So, again, human nature, inflation. So inflation is something that, I don't know, you guys may know Pierre Rabhi, the French guy, definitely. It's an old friend, coming from Ardèche also. But I like what he says, because he is talking of deflation. He says we have to deflate, guys. And this is something that we all have to do, because we have been brought into modern energy. You see, before, in the past, like it was rural, so it was somehow linear. And then suddenly, with the modern days, we discovered inflation. And then suddenly, people started making money with inflation. So it became very fashionable, but the curves are all going like that, you know. And then when it goes like that, at one point, your plane cannot fly. So now we are talking of deflation. That means we have to bring down those curves and go back to some horizontal level. No, I mean, I don't know if it has to go up or to go down, whatever. I don't know. But what I know is that definitely you cannot always go up and up and up.
You may not have that
a little bit discussed. Inflation and deflation of energy. C'est la courbe qu'on doit découpler.
Okay.
Pierre is speaking about sobriété heureuse, you know, happy sober.
Yes, no, but anyway, we have to reduce the rhythm because we cannot continue to grow and grow and grow and grow and then not be able to handle it. That's the main thing. If we cannot handle it, then it has no future. So, the more power I get, the more power I want. For me, for my family, my clan, my tribe, my community, my nation, and my planet, what happened to it, you know? This is always the same problem. So multi-sourcing, all sources difficult. It's not something that we can take for granted. Collection of question marks. Rainwater harvesting feasible? Where do we store? So this is, you see, all these questions have to be answered. Like the last monsoon I was mentioning showed us that we can store in the Kedalar sandstone. For example, in our house in Dana, so much rain we got, like everybody, of course, but no rain went out of our garden. Everything was percolating and percolating and percolating. Sometimes we have some swales, and sometimes you could see that the water was filling up there, then the rain stopped, and then it goes down. So there is a form of management, but we can store so much water in this Kedalar sandstone. Then this groundwater doomed, or can we save? So I would say, you know, like one thing that we have clear at the water group, third aquifer, let it rest. When we say let it rest, give it in peace, stop pumping. Second aquifer, it's an aquifer that is still responding to monsoon.
How deep it is?
Second aquifer is 100 meters apart. The third aquifer is between 200 and 300, depending on the location. So only wastewater, will it be available or not? It might become available when we run this program, when AFD is coming in the picture, because then we will create cross-border partenariat, and these kind of things can become feasible. Coastal aquifers, will turn saline or not, or can we stabilize the situation? Desalinization, long-term solution, let's see, because it's a technology, so it has its own evolution, let's see how long it lasts. Electric energy, always available. Bon, we, the plan of Varuna is to run with solar panel, solar energy. Let's see how far they can go. So I just put, like, because you were asking me the depths of the various aquifers, you have the small clear alluvium, then the green one is the color of sandstone. Orovir is here, basically, in the high ground here. And the Mana Valley clay is the one that starts from almost like behind the parking here. And then after, I don't know, I don't want to spend too much time on that, but the third aquifer is this one, which is going down. But this one is doomed already. Because everybody has been, when we did the studies with Harvest, we found that in the region we found some 7,000 bore wells already in this aquifer. Water levels in Vanur were at that time 50 meters below the mean sea level. So you see, it's. And the scientists who came from France, from Paris Jussieu, they told us the finished. You see, they really studied the thing, origin of salinity and everything. And they said, you have 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, we don't know. But definitely, it's. So this one, definitely, we want to rest. And then we want to work on Kadaperikupan limestone, and there is another one, it's not mentioned here, which is a Turuvai limestone. Because these two, we will see, you know, if we see that they show some response, up and down, means they will be sensible to the recharge, and we can go easy on the extraction. So these are parameters of hydrogeology that we have to stabilize if we want to run a sustainable model. So water in quantity and in quality, I already mentioned. You see, we are going with a target of 150 liters a day per person for the overall population. Should satisfy the metabolism. That means this water has to be suitable for a human body. We cannot drink any form of water. We cannot drink seawater. We cannot drink hard water. We cannot. Our body is not, in this present state, able to do that. So how far can nature adapt? This is open to research, if you guys want to try. Free water, free in essence and in principle, but costly to produce and to distribute. Costly to protect. 1 liter of water, water bottle costs around 20 rupees. A cubic meter of plain water in water service costs 19 rupees. What do we want? Who foots the bill? Are we responsible for what our body needs the most? What is Oroville stand. So this is really something, this is a debate that has to come up because it's very important that we agree on some very basic, how to say, fundamental
things.
Priority. Issue.
Yeah. Anyway, we have to agree on that. No, because it's very important. Otherwise, this is one major base for the development. So if we say Oroville will be supplied for free to the Orovillians, like the electricity, why not? But then it has to be done in such a way that the economic guys who are dealing with the finances of Auroville do integrate that in their computer and in their programs so that we build a real economy for Auroville. Because for the time being, we are in damage control, and we are in damage control, and we are in damage control. And that's all what we are doing here. So we have to start really building these things. Like, for example, when Oiseau started the experiment of Porthos water in Abri, it came as a very interesting element. One reason was, it was a conflict area, very rough. And this approach gave, I don't know, a sense of stability. And then somehow one team formed and came quiet. And they keep working. Because they are mainly Tamil. And for Tamil, collectivity is something spontaneous. And for them to be of service was always fine. This is the old team of Auroville Water Service, 1986. So these guys have always been growing in the sense of service. So for them to be back to service is horizontal. And the other thing is that it gives us, again, a database to see how much can we offer for free. You see, what is your real cost when you go on operation? What does it cost you to take out a pump? And this and that. For example, these guys, they come, your pump breaks down. They come 3 hours after, then you start the pump again. They have put a spare pump and the whole thing works. So it's a very interesting experiment. But they also have limitations. And one limitation might also be due to technical knowledge that has to be complemented. You see, we have a lot of things like that. When we come to technical level of things, we are lacking the competence in terms of manpower. Our situation. Auroville development is marked by politics and Amsterdam Club or Bilderberg groups. So it's a very personal thing. Don't feel offended. But what I mean is that we have so many different agendas going on, particularly in the water field. And it's very important that we come together and we relax and all say that they are doing her work. And this is what is very interesting here, is that each one of us is convinced that he is doing her work. But still, so back to work, that's the only way. No words, actions.
Mother, I just mentioned the quote, it's not from me.
But we need tools and logistics, and logistic and manpower. Can you help? That's also from Nanda. So, can you help? And this is a message for you guys. In conclusion, because to do all these things, you know, I've been brushing a very large spectrum of our reality. But we need finances for tools and manpower and logistics. You see, we have ideas, we have a vision to develop, we have many things, but each time, like for example, the main source of funds for development is Government of India. But Government of India has very strict rules, very strict domains. You see, we could apply for a building, and then we get a mega building finance, no problem. But you cannot have the manpower, you cannot have the logistics, and you cannot have the tools. The tools, maybe, if you are playing something. So it's very important. We need contacts with research institutes and universities in the field of hydrology, hydrogeology, meteorology, water management, and so on. We need assistance to students and volunteers, like we were discussing now with Nadia. A guy wants to come from France, hydrogeology, but we are running in a snag with the visa. So it's not so much in your domain, it is in our domain to solve this problem. And all what you feel can be useful to build partnerships.
So this is basically what we would need from the water side. Thank you. Fraternity has no borders like water. And water can travel in the sky, on the earth, in the earth, and in ourselves. Voilà. Thank you.